fighting for America.
Russia continues to isolate itself by their actions. They're dangerous, they're provocative, they're irresponsible. This needs to stop.
Fighting for Idaho.
Of all the incredible moments of our trips to Africa, one of the most memorable was being able to bring Michelle and later our little girls to my father's hometown in Kenya.
Fighting for you.
If an illegal immigrant kills an American citizen, we're lucky to get that information out of the police.
No, what we need to do is to crack down on the employers that hire the illegals. They're the ones that enable them to stay here and take American jobs.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the morning on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580 KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning. As we take a look at some of the big issues, we'll be talking about obviously the latest on the president's air support, air strike proposals. We'll get your thoughts at 580-5436. Are we going back to Iraq? We'll talk a little bit about that. Of course, school just getting ready around the country and around the Treasure Valley. And we always are looking for deals to, well, deals when it comes to higher education, education being the great liberator of all of us. And we try and do it certainly with the best value, the best ROI, as they say, return on investment. Joining us now to discuss some of the best and worst state schools, Richie Bernanito from Wallet Hub. Richie, good morning.
Good morning.
So let's talk about some of the best schools around the country, around the West.
Sure.
Where do we begin?
I'm sorry?
Where do we begin, Richie?
Well, would you like to speak about Idaho first?
Sure.
Okay. If you consider all of the metrics in the study, Idaho ranked overall as number 27. And in specific categories, Idaho fared really well in some and in others not as well. So for school systems quality, Idaho ranks number 26. For education output and safety, it ranks number 34. And as far as spending is concerned, it ranks number 44.
Sure, and we're talking about primary schools here, high schools and middle schools or colleges?
Yes, we're talking about public schools K through 12.
You know, it's interesting. I'm sure many of the states have had issues with education and the issues involving, you know, funding and curriculum, and it's been front page news here in Idaho. But so Idaho, according to your study, is about middle of the pack.
Middle of the pack, yes. Again, it ranks number 27, and like I said, it did well in some metrics and others not as well. For one, Idaho has one of the lowest percentages of children who repeated one or more grades since starting kindergarten, and that figure is 6%. So it ranked really high, actually, in top 10 at number 9 for that metric. And if we compare that with other states, Iowa ranked first with the lowest rate at number 3. 3%, and Louisiana ranked last with the highest rate of 23%. In terms of test scores, Idaho scored middle of the field at number 26 for math test scores and number 24 for reading test scores. But, you know, some metrics did pull the state down in terms of overall rank. And what really pulled it down was pupil-to-teacher ratio, which is 17.5 students per teacher. And in that category, the state ranks number 43.
Yeah, I was looking at this. This is quite an extensive study that you all have done here from WalletHub.com. I'm looking at some of these things, and I know, and Richie, I got to tell you, a lot of people are going, Kevin, you're talking back to school already, and look, some people are starting school next week, some states, but you got high, you go to math scores, reading scores, lowest percentage of children who repeated grades, as you talked about, teacher-student ratio, safest schools.
Correct.
So you did a lot of this. Let's talk a little bit about highest pupil-to-teacher ratio, and I'm looking at Nevada, Oregon, Arizona, Utah, and California. Have we found that that directly impacts student output, student productivity, and test scores if there are more, 30 kids as opposed to 17 per teacher?
That depends on the state. Some states scored really high as far as test scores, and that pushed their overall rank up really high. But, some of these states also scored really low on some metrics, so that brought them down a little bit. So not necessarily having having a lower pupil-to-teacher ratio doesn't necessarily mean that they'll have higher test scores.
Kind of like it does. The more money you spend doesn't really correlate to how good the test scores are going to be either.
That's correct. You know, we've seen with some states that the more investments they make in education, that the better quality of their school systems. But then you have Alaska, whose spending ranking was number 4, so that's really high. But then it scored number 38 on overall school systems. So you also have some of the states that ranked overall really high, which were some of the northeastern states. Let me take a look at some of these. So Vermont, obviously, spending really high and having an overall quality school system as well.
Now, what about curriculum? Because there's been this national movement, very controversial, Idaho not immune to the controversy, involving the Common Core. Did your study look at curriculum in some states, or were these just uniform standards that you could judge every state, every school system the same?
These are all uniform standards that we could access information for. I'm unfortunately not at liberty to discuss the Common Core. That's outside the realm of this study, so I have no information for you on that.
That's probably a good thing because it's quite controversial. Now,
right.
What about what states are doing well that perhaps a state like Idaho could model a program after when we're talking math scores?
A lot of the northeastern states, again, you have Massachusetts, Vermont, and New Hampshire all scoring really high on their test scores. So definitely those are the states to emulate.
There we have it. What about in the West? Is there one state that really shines in the West?
In the West, let's see. California is among the ones that ranks higher. And not the highest, but it's faring much better than some of its neighbors in the West. So that's one to look out for as well.
Sure. What can we take away from this study, you think?
From this study, again, it's back to school season. So as I pointed out in the text of the study, there's a strong connection between educational attainment and income level. And the more educated an individual, the higher his or her future earning potential will be. So, of course, I can't speak about employment and unemployment figures in Idaho or the nation as a whole, but those are completely separate issues. Again, I just think it's important to recognize that education in the United States is still the path to financial success for many Americans. Obviously not the only path, but it's definitely one that secures financial freedom.
Indeed. WalletHub.com. Richie, thank you.
Thank you so much, Kevin.
All right, have a good day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Oh, bye-bye. There we have it, talking about Idaho. And, you know, how many times have we heard, well, it's, how should we put this? Idaho's, you know, got bad standards, this standards and the other. And I'm thinking to myself here at 580 KIDO, quite frankly, you know, I think it really depends on what the criteria is. You know, we've got some great schools here. And I don't know about you, but I love talking to people about schools. And I understand there's some big issues concerning the Common Core. I understand there's some big issues concerning funding. Now, one issue that's going to be happening, and we're going to be in the thick of it, as we always are, this Meridian levy that's coming up. What is it, 104 or is it 140 million? Well, if you live in Meridian, I'm sure you know funding for these schools. And you're talking about millions of dollars to expand and renovate Meridian High School. And look, no area is immune to it. So I wonder, at Kevin at KIDOAM.com, I wonder to you, dear true believer, you know, is it time for the state to kick in? You know, somebody has to kick in. We're experiencing growth here in the Treasure Valley. Or are we going to continue to leave it to these communities? And the other big question, and we'll get off our education soapbox here, the idea of consolidation. Do we really need 27 school districts? Look at what Meridian's done now, calling themselves West Ada, because you've got Star, you've got Eagle, you've got West Ada County. You still have the Boise School District, but do you really need so many districts? I mean, could you consolidate the Canyon County School District? Could you consolidate Ada County? something to think about as we move along. But let's get to the top story internationally, and that has to do with the president. Here's 580KIDO's Rachel Sutherland.
President Obama says he's authorized the airstrikes, if necessary, against Islamist militants who've overrun parts of Iraq and are now advancing on the city of Erbil, where there's a U.S. consulate.
We intend to stay vigilant and take action if these terrorist forces threaten our personnel or facilities anywhere in Iraq.
But the president stressed he will not allow the U.S. to be dragged into another war there. U.S. troops have started dropping humanitarian aid to religious minorities stranded on a mountaintop in the country's north who are threatened with slaughter. In Washington, Rachel Sutherland, Fox News Radio.
Thank you, Rachel. Kevin Miller in the morning here at 580KIDO. And wasn't it just, I don't know, a few years ago that the president was touting that we're leaving Iraq in a peaceful, stable state and that we've moved on and that his position was superior? Now, Republican or Democrat, you have to take a look at the Iraq policy. And dare I say, let me ask you this. Were we better off with Saddam Hussein in charge? Anyway, here's the president from Fort Bragg, North Carolina.
Commander-in-Chief, and on behalf of a great...
I guess this would be his mission accomplished moment. Sorry.
...nation. I'm proud to finally say these two words, and I know your families agree. Welcome home. Welcome home. Welcome home. Welcome home. Today I've come to speak to you about the end of the war in Iraq. Over the last few months, the final work of leaving Iraq has been done. Dozens of bases with American names that house thousands of American troops have been closed down or turned over to the Iraqis. Thousands of tons of equipment have been packed up and shipped out. Tomorrow, the colors of United States Forces Iraq, the colors you fought under, will be formally cased in a ceremony in Baghdad. And then they'll begin their journey across an ocean, back home. Those last American troops will move south on desert sands, and then they will cross the border out of Iraq with their heads held high. One of the most extraordinary chapters in the history of the American military will come to an end. Iraq's future will be in the hands of its people. America's war in Iraq will be over.
There we have it. Do you agree with that statement now that we're sending airstrikes? And dare I say, is this Vietnam all over again? At least when we left Saigon, we left Saigon. It is 618, 580KIDO. Let's get you to work safe.
John Hannity, weekdays at 3. Now, back to Kevin Miller on 580KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Many of you are rightly concerned about any American military action in Iraq, even limited strikes like these. I understand that. I ran for this office in part to end our war in Iraq and welcome our troops home, and that's what we've done. As Commander-in-Chief, I will not allow the United States to be dragged into fighting another war in Iraq. And so even as we support Iraqis as they take the fight to these terrorists, American combat troops will not be returning to fight in Iraq, because there is no American military solution to the larger crisis in Iraq. The only lasting solution is reconciliation among Iraqi communities and stronger Iraqi security forces.
There we have it, the latest from the President of the United States last night. Bad news if you're thinking that we're going to get out of Iraq. You have many other people commenting on it. We'll take your calls at 580-5436-580-KIDO, do you agree with the president's decision? And this is something other that kind of gets me.
The United States strongly condemns ISIL's assault on Sinjar and surrounding areas of northern Iraq. These actions have exacerbated an already dire humanitarian crisis, and the situation is nearing a humanitarian catastrophe.
Right, which we're seeing all over the world, all over the region. Is it up to us to save the world? And by the way, at 580KIDO, are we so burned out on the news Are we so burned out as a nation, kind of like a person who's on drugs, or let's say who's been on steroids? You know, at first your body reacts to it, like you get a big breaking news story and you go up to someone and go, hey, did you hear about this? Did you hear about that? But have we become like a drug addict that we're so burned out because every day, I mean, look, let me ring the accountability bell for you this morning. And we do it for really entertainment purposes only at 580KIDO. Think about just the world. What the heck's going on with the world? You've got Gaza. You've got Iraq. You've got Syria. You've got the Christians being slaughtered. You've got the Chinese. Am I leaving something out? Oh, the border. That's a lot of ding-dongs for, you know, pre-6:30 in the morning. So what do we do? Look, I'm not trying to make a star out of Chris Troupas, but I think he hit the nail on the head.
Go enjoy your beer and ride your ATV and watch sports. We'll run the country.
Right. The problem is when we leave others to run the country for us, they're not doing a very good job. And was it naive not to get a status forces agreement from Maliki that would have allowed us to maintain troops in Iraq? I mean, and people say, well, you know, President Bush did a good job. Well, he went all in. And remember, Iraq was falling apart under President Bush until the surge saved him, saved that country. But it goes to show you, and this is something that I think that we've all underestimated, and it's something that Pat Buchanan brought up many, many years ago. What happens if you give someone a choice? Let's just say you give somebody at work a choice. Okay, Billy, you can do this or you can do that, and you're counting on Billy to do what you want him to do. But instead, Billy decides he's going to vote in his own best interest. So if you would, in fact, give someone a choice, someone who's never had power before, you give them a republic, you give them a democracy, they vote you out. We've seen it in the Gaza. We've seen it around the world. We've seen it in Egypt. They vote out our people. So do you back a dictator that doesn't reflect American values? Do you allow them to have American values? And then all of a sudden, they go around and start killing the Christians.
We are actively considering what we could do in support of Iraqi efforts, what more we could do, particularly to provide additional support for the Yazidis, also the Christian communities we've talked about. Look, this is a huge humanitarian crisis. You have thousands and thousands of people at risk of death from starvation. We're reviewing what more we can do.
Oh, I forgot. There's always Russia and the Ukraine, too. Whoops. Got to give you the bell for that one. Think about this, though. Are we burned out when it just comes to the news stories? Look, we cover the news. We talk about the news. But it's almost as if, hey, it's summer. Let's continue to check out. And let me ask you, people that have served, can we afford to be checked out? What happens, God forbid, if they're fighting in Iraq? And let's face it, ISIS is not as strong as they're perceived to be, because they're not really fighting forces. They're a bunch of terrorists with no resistance. I'm so glad that we spent all our money building up the Iraqi army and the Iraqi military infrastructure. You saw that when we went to Iraq. You saw it physically when you talked to your loved ones. I mean, the Humvees, the armored Humvees, the MRAPs that we had a chance to drive around in. Let's face it, that was a lot of money, a lot of training that apparently didn't sink in when you have a bunch of guys running around in black pajamas causing a bunch of chaos. And now we've got these folks that are surrounded. They're starving. Yes, I'm glad that we're giving them humanitarian aid. But what does it say that we have to do this? And what does it really say about our foreign policy? By the way, ISIS just said they're going to raise the flag of Allah at the White House. Wow. So this is where we need leadership. This is where we need some type of consistent foreign policy. So much more coming up on that. And again, we'll take your calls all morning long on that at 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Now, we have an expert here, and this is an expert on terrorists, Colonel Tony Schaefer, a senior fellow at the London Center for Policy Research, tells us here at 580KIDO just how severe, just how troubling the situation in Iraq is.
The humanitarian aspect of this has gotten so severe. We're talking about 40,000 people on a mountaintop who will literally be slaughtered if nobody helps.
I got to ask you, where are the Turks? Where are the Saudis? Where's the rest of the world? I mean, people get tired of us jumping in. People get tired of us doing things. But where's everybody else? I mean, really, where is everybody else? By the way, Andrew White, chaplain of St. George's Church in Baghdad, describes just what's going on with the ISIS in Iraq.
The story is just so awful, it almost seems unbelievable. People's heads have been chopped off. They have been stuck on crosses. Children have been killed and cut in half. It is just so awful.
There we have it, of course. This has been going on for quite some time. I think we've finally seen a situation where the administration cannot ignore it. But what about you? Here we are on a Friday, getting ready for a weekend. Yes, we're covering what's going on in Hawaii. We're covering what's going on with the Ebola. But the President of the United States makes a big speech last night, and we sit back and we go, well, we don't need to go back there again. Well, do we? Do you agree with Barack Obama? Do you agree with the president? You're listening to Kevin Miller, 580KIDO.
News. I'm just hating all the time. Come on. Let's get some work done together.
Look in my eyes, what do you see?
Stop being mad all the time.
The controversy.
Giving Idaho a reason to get out of bed. Kevin Miller in the morning on 580KIDO. Idaho's first radio station.
KIDO, Kevin Miller with you here. Boy, don't you hate it. It's just, I'm glad this is happening to me on a Friday. The computer crashes. I'm a little woozy because I stayed up too late last night watching the football games. And I know people, you know, other people, they stay out late because they're going to dinner or they have a party. For me, it's just because I stayed up too late watching the football game. And I'm thinking to myself, it's no big deal. It's Friday. We're good to go. Everything's going to be rolling. And, you know, you just sit there and take a look at your computer and blue go boom. Anyway, coming up, we'll have much more of your reaction to the actually, there's been no reaction to the president's speech last night, which I find very telling, considering that Idaho had so many folks from here serving two deployments in Iraq and the idea of possibly going back. I mean, do we believe our political leaders? Do we believe our political leaders when they tell us that you don't have to worry? You don't really have to worry because we're not going back to Iraq. We're going to provide humanitarian assistance. We're going to make sure that ISIS is in check. We're going to be good little stewards, if you will. So at 580-5436, 580-KIDO, think of the Iraq not as a war, but as an investment. And when we're talking about an investment, think of the amount of gear that we've left behind. Think of the amount of equipment, never mind, and not to belittle or to demean the cost of lives, the cost of rehabilitation, just the overall cost that our country has weathered because of Iraq. And now we're going to be sending more stuff over there. I mean, let's face it. Humanitarian aid is not cheap. Humanitarian aid is, you know, somebody's got to pay for the gas for the plane, right? And that's you and that's me. You know, I take a look at this and I really admire people that have continued to manage their budget effectively. Wouldn't that be great if the government did that as well? Managed their bank accounts effectively. Managed to keep within the budget. Why? I mean, look at the state of Idaho. Look at our great gem state here. I mean, we have to have a balanced budget. Shouldn't the government? Think about it. Gene and Cuna, hang on. First, we go to Tanya J. Powers of Fox News Radio with a a few Southernisms, if you will. So there's nothing finer than Carolina, and we were talking about this cafe, I think, around Wake Forest or Winston-Salem, where we have this cafe where you get 15% off for praying, and yet all of a sudden that's gone away.
Yeah, you're familiar with that area of North Carolina, I guess.
Nothing finer.
Yes, the discount has been dropped. Apparently, the folks at Mary's Gourmet Diner were contacted by the people from the Freedom From Religion Foundation.
And
they said, you know, we don't think you should be doing that, and we might or might not sue you. So Mary decided to take the path of least resistance, I guess, and drop the policy of discounts for praying in public.
Boy, I hate it when that happens. Of course, what's the reaction?
Well, as you can imagine, there are a lot of people who think that, you know, Mary should have stood her ground and said, no, 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 we're going to keep doing this. And, of course, there are others who believe that, you know, if you give one person a discount because they prayed in public, that, you know, like the Freedom From Religion folks pointed out, atheists don't pray. So are they, you know, they're getting charged more than the Christians and, you know.
Right. About a 15% off for a moment of silence?
Hey, that's an idea.
Yeah, that's what schools do to get around this. Of course, are you familiar with the North Carolina fight song, if you will, Tanya?
Not very well.
All
right. Indicate me.
I know it goes outside your southern jurisdiction, but and you're going, what do people in Idaho care about this? But I've often found it fascinating where they go, Tar Heel born, Tar Heel bred, and when I die, I'll be a Tar Heel dead.
Mm-hmm.
And I just find that just fascinating.
I've heard that that same kind of sentiment with the word Southern in it instead of Tar Heel.
Ah, I see.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
Any big surprise that Lamar won in Tennessee, your old state, or a state that you continue to visit?
No, I'm not really surprised at all. I think the race on that card that I was a little bit more shocked, and I think a lot of people were shocked, was the representative from the state, Scott Desjarlais, who everybody thought he would be just blown out. And instead, it was like a 33-vote margin because this guy in the last few years has, he's had all kinds of personal problems that have been just paraded in public. And, I mean, everything from, you know, admissions of 8 affairs before his divorce was finalized to threatening his ex-wife with a gun when she was still his wife. I mean, there's been a lot of stuff going on there. And I think a lot of people were very surprised that he hung in there and was not ousted in a landslide.
Southerners are very forgiving people.
That's true.
They may forgive. I don't think they forget.
No.
See Lincoln.
I can assure you of that.
Tanya J. Powers, you have a great weekend, ma'am. Thank you.
Thanks a lot. You too.
All right. There we go. Let's go to Gene in CUNA at 580 KIDO. Good morning, Gene.
Good morning, my brother. Are you all right today?
Me? I'm living the dream, getting ready for that big slugfest tomorrow, but today we've got to get Friday started first.
Hey, yeah, it sounds like a good one. You know, Kevin, my friend, this thing with going back into Iraq, and I'm speaking from personal experience. I spent 4 years in country in Vietnam, and not bringing up old bad memories, but the commanders in the field there is, oh, yeah, you know, the president says we're going to be out of here and this time or that time, and time come, never happened. And, you know, just look at Mr. Obama and his track record. Says he's got a pen and he's not afraid to use it, and that's rather obvious. But saying that no boots on the ground, you don't have to worry about this, well, you know, sometimes the leopard don't change his spots, and I'm really hoping he changes his spots because I'm really hoping we don't have boots on the ground over there. But then again, with those people stranded on a mountaintop and ISIS at the bottom of it, well, all Obama would have to do is drop some highly trained individuals on that mountain and they could take the high ground, and ISIS, they'd be in big trouble because when a combat team has the high ground, the people on the lower end of things really, really catch it. And something needs to be done. I mean, I'm not playing this short by any means, my friend, but something needs to be done about ISIS because it's been known and it's been documented that Hamas, Hezbollah, the Palestinian Authority, it's all you can Google it all, that they have just you know, disregarded these people because they're so radical that these other factions don't even want to be associated with them. They're just too nasty, and they're taking things way, way outside the box, and they need to be stopped. They really do. But if we stop them and we help Iraq stop them, what's to say that another group, even more radical, isn't going to spring up somewhere? And then what are we going to have to do? Are we going to go back in and try to stop them as well? I don't know how to say it.
Well, here's the skinny. Do we trust the government when they say we're done in Iraq, now we're helping in Iraq? And, you know, while we have this forum together, Gene, at 580KIDO, regardless of the political backgrounds of the administration, when are we ever going to speak the language of the folks causing all the trouble, which is extreme violence? The Israelis may be getting beaten up public relations-wise, but they're sending a message to Hamas. We want to be politically correct.
Right. The problem is when we have to live by these rules of engagement and the enemy doesn't, we're never going to win. And the enemy knows this. The enemy knows that we have these rules. We have these humanitarian rules. We have these ethical rules. We have these rules that say, look, we're not going to be barbarians. We're not going to be animals about this. And yet they hide their weapons among the public, among women, among children. And the minute somebody bombs one of their weapon sites, oh, they killed 10 children. They killed 15 women. Forget the fact that they took out 25 or 30 rockets and a launch pad or two. Forget about that. They killed women and children. Well, what about reporting the truth like you do every day on KIDO? You report the truth. What about reporting the truth on, well, the women and children? Yeah, that's bad. That's casualties of war. That's called collateral damage. We all know that. And we don't like it, but it's a fact of war. And the fact that these people are not, they're not beneath hiding things among women and children so that they don't get blown up. And when they do get blown up, the first thing they say is, oh, these guys killed women and children. They kill women and children all the time. But the people hiding the rockets there know darn well that the women and children are going to die, and they tell them there's no greater glory than going to be with Allah. You know, I hate to tell them this, but Allah is not going to save them. The only one that can save them is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You know it, and I know it.
Gene, thank you.
All right, my friend. Well, listen, I've taken up enough of your time, but I love talking to you, and I'm on my way home from work right now, and listening to you every morning really gets me motivated to do the right thing. It really does. So,
well, God bless you, Gene. You motivate us.
No. I might be good for a laugh every now and again, but okay. My brother, I love you, and I love the panel, even the mayhem and the AM. It's great. It gets me going. It gets me laughing, and it's really great. But I don't want anybody getting on your back about this, because you tell the truth, and if the media doesn't like it, too bad. We're still going to tell the truth. So, God bless you, my brother. I'll talk to you again.
All right, Gene, take care.
You too. Now, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Quickly to Doug in CUNA. Thanks for your patience. You're on 580KIDO. Hey, Doug.
Good morning, sir. Hey, you know, the complete and total incompetence of Obama is unbelievable. He has absolutely no clue what he's doing. And he decided to pull all of our troops out, made his campaign promises and what have you, knowing full well that once they did, Al-Qaeda and ISIS and all these other radical Islamist groups, that's going to leave a vacuum for them to just pop up and take over that country. Iraq wasn't ready to be turned loose and govern by itself. They've had thousands of years of warring between all their tribes. They don't know them. They haven't figured out how to get along yet. They needed somebody to at least guide them a little bit. And Obama, in his infinite stupidity, pulled out and left such a vacuum that, you know, we're gonna reap what we sow, and we're getting it now.
I'd say we are getting it.
Yeah, and it's going to cost us a ton more money now, because all that equipment that they had that we left, they've all gotten now. And so now we're going to be fighting a better armed radical group, number one, but number two,
with our own equipment.
Yeah, and we have to haul a whole bunch more equipment back over there to try and fight a stupid war again. They should have stayed in there and at least set up a base or two and stayed there for the next 10 to 15 years trying to teach these people how to lead. But Obama didn't want to do that because he thought it was a thorn in his side. He wanted out, and he wants everybody to just be happy and, you know, sing nursery rhymes every day or something, I guess.
Doug, thank you for the call.
Thank you, Kevin. Keep up the fight, brother.
All right, you too. Have a great day. Always good to hear from Doug. Quickly now to traffic. Kevin Miller in the morning, 580.
Weekdays at noon. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
And we're going to have to apologize to Ron Paul Jim. We're rolling into traffic right now at 580 KIDO. 6:59 coming up next. We'll take a look at whether or not what we watch, what we see, what we hear, what we read really influences us when it comes to public opinion, particularly the Gaza coverage. Dan Gaynor will join us from the Media Research Center, plus the latest on the president and Iraq. Are you willing to go back in? Let's talk. Serving.